Previously on Meat Team.
Given that I couldn't figure out why she was sorry, I told her, "I don't forgive you," and then stormed out with my dog.
Meanwhile, across the street.
Welcome to the Money Bank. How may I help you?
My name is Tom B. Isisman, and I would like to allocate my investments to increase my dividends this business quarter.
Of course. This is the Money Bank. That is a perfectly sensible request, and I'll be happy to help you with.
Explosion.
That's right. It's me, Lighterfire, the notorious villain of this wretched city. And I'm going to rob this bank or whatever.
What about the investors? Won't someone think of the poor investors?
Silence. I've killed a man that looked at me funny. Don't think I will tolerate insubordination for long.
Lighterfire. How did I know it was gonna be you?
Because that's what you do, Hero Man. But your exceptional foresight is no match for my plans today.
We'll see about that.
One night when I was grabbing a late night snack, I popped something into the microwave, but I wanted to open the door before that beep went off. I went to open the door right before the one turned to zero, but as I reached for the door, my finger got static electricity. Ever since then, I've had the ability to see half a second into the future. I'm not sure how useful these powers are. For instance, when I step out into the street, I see a vision of stepping into a puddle. I look down and see said puddle, and I frantically try to avoid it. But it's too late as the effect follows the cause. My foot sinks deep into that icy street trench. Half a second. Half a second. It's really not enough time to do anything about it.
I don't know what it's like to have an identity anymore. It's just lighter fire. So, I found a bottle of hot sauce that I accidentally left on the radiator. I didn't think anything of it, other than I was fresh with hot sauce. Without thinking, I used the hot sauce in some food, and then I rubbed my eyes, but there was some hot sauce on my fingers. And my eyes burned like the fires of hell. I tried to rinse them off with icy cold water, but every time I splashed my face, the water became pretty hot. I didn't know what was going on. Then I remembered that if you eat something spicy, you don't want to drink water, you actually want to drink milk. So I tried that. I splashed my eyes with the milk, but even the milk became warm, and I got sleepy. When I woke up, my eyes still kind of burned, but it was tolerable. I then found out that I had heat vision. And also, I could fly, which doesn't really make sense, but it's something I could do. It was pretty sweet. And now I use those powers to wreak havoc on the town. No man can stop me. Save for...
You know that feeling when you're on a phone call and you hear yourself in some phone echo?
And you hear yourself in some phone echo?
You say something and you hear yourself and think,
I sound stupid.
It's like that, but all the time. Except the echo comes first. Imagine if you heard what you were going to say before you said it. When you actually say it, you're actively disappointed in yourself. In the beginning, I found myself going through feedback loops of premonition and then correction and premonition and correction. It's hard to explain to people without time powers, but it sucked. I would get a nosebleed and then people would look at me funny.
normal day as usual. I'm at work mopping the floors of this afternoon's building while elevator music plays on the speakers overhead. Cleaning up the streets and the floors of your building. What a hero I am. The mop flops as it slaps the floor, and I see a brief glimpse of my water-distorted reflection before sweeping the mop across it. I see it moving before I actually do it. It makes my job twice as boring as it should be. Double time isn't paid based on perception, just like having a dream about work. They don't pay you for that.
I wanted to be an accountant. For as long as I can remember, I wanted to be an accountant. I think it's because my dad was an accountant. Even though every night at dinner, my dad would complain about how he hated being an accountant. I wanted to be just like him, an accountant. So even though he despised being an accountant, I wanted to do what he did, to be the man he was, an accountant. Even in my teenage rebellion stage, the goal remained, even though the motivation had flipped. My dad would try to steer me into other activities or careers. He bought me a guitar. He suggested maybe I step away from my accounting books and try being a rock star instead. I took the guitar and I threw it out the window and screamed,
"There's nothing you can say that will make me not want to be an accountant, Dad."
And then went back to reading my accounting books. But then I got my superpowers. And then I had to become a superhero. Because that's just what you do when you get superpowers. But these really aren't superpowers. And I'd still rather be an accountant.
Heroes and villains. Heroes and villains. I think about that a lot. Granted, people hate it when bad things happen, but they love a hero more than they hate the bad things happening. I don't believe society would function as a utopia anyway. Without devastation, unending peace would make mankind stagnant and its citizens restless. Your friendly neighbors would eventually transform into monsters. Society would never admit it, and I wouldn't want them to, but they need people like me. They need their villains. They need their devastation. Just like a day without night would drive a man into madness, these people need their dawn, and the only way to reach that peak is to endure the cold, hopeless night. I know it sounds melodramatic or high school poetic, but I'm willing to be this city's cold, hopeless night. Sorry, I went off on a tangent. I originally wanted to be a veterinarian, as unbelievable as that is. The reason for it is obvious. I love animals.
The building I'm cleaning this afternoon is an apartment complex. The one my crush lives in. I overhear her talking to her friend how she's worried about her ex. She says that while she's glad he doesn't bother anymore when he's drinking, anymore she's worried about how he's been missing since the night he sent his last text. She holds her phone to her chest as she thoughtfully recites his last message to her.
"Hey Stephanie, how's your grandfather? I really miss you.
After he sent that, he went missing. All that's left is some green-colored burns by his former moon, surrounding the large pit where his floor used to be. All this talk about her ex makes me jealous. Wish I could be her ex-boyfriend. Thursday, so our usual guest walked over to a bench and looked into some binoculars pointing at the coffee shop across the street. He must have been thinking that his trench coat and bucket hat made him invisible. Under normal circumstances, someone would have stopped them from this behavior. But the first time he did this, however long ago, people got unnerved when I approached him because his breathing sounded like weeping. Lost in his delusions, he whispered something about stamps that will haunt me for the rest of my days.
Now I know. Being an accountant wouldn't raise my status amongst people. I know this. Most people would probably jump over hoops to ensure you don't talk about your job. At least, that's what my mom did when my dad came home from work. Point is, I know that most people don't have a lot of admiration for accountants. But there is some. Meanwhile, whatever admiration a superhero gets is completely inconsequential because of our secret identities.
It's the most bitter irony when I get rejected by the girl I have a crush on that otherwise swoons over my superhero identity. Bitter more as I see the rejection a fraction of a second before it actually comes, causing me to experience that sting twice, back to back. To everyone else, I'm just some college dropout flunky. Do you know what kind of cover jobs are out there for a person with an unreliable schedule without a degree? Not a great one.
Oh, I'm glad no one knows who I am. My parents always raised me to do the right thing. Directly. They wouldn't listen to the second word in my philosophical spiel of heroes and villains before condemning my actions, saying that it's wrong and that I shouldn't do it. Whenever they see my impressive mansion, they always wonder what I do. I tell them I invented a special pillow. I even hire actors to come by to pretend to be businessmen or pillow scientists, just to sell the illusion. Pillow scientists? That's a crazy thing, right? I don't know if it's real. I hate lying to my parents, but I've done worse things. I am a villain, after all.
I engaged in whatever scraps of life I have left. I disappeared into the cleaning. It's therapeutic in a way, wiping away the smudges from the room. How simple it makes life, that all peace is always the eye of the storm. I felt it. The Hero app notification. My job doesn't pay me enough to buy a car, so I have to ride my bike to the crime scenes. While I walked my bike, I saw a man that believed he was an ATM. I saw someone push their credit card into his mouth shortly before the man pulled money out of his wallet, handed it to the user, and spat out his card.
I used to be human.
I finished walking to where my bike was parked, only to find it missing. Someone stole it, meaning that I had to call a cab. Damn it. My boss said he was going to cut my pay if I skipped out on work anymore, so I had to go out of pocket for the stupid role. With, soon to be, less money. I rode the entire way thinking about my stolen bike. Why does mankind deserve a hero? I pushed the thoughts out of my head. It was time to hero up. brings us to now. We'll see about that, I say as I typically do. I watch him fly around, as he typically does. I can't even fly. I can't do anything. Except see half a second into the future, which arguably puts me in more of a disadvantage than not being able to see into the future at all. It hits me all at once. I'm neither a hero nor want to be. Everything has been taken away from me. The things I'm close to, I'm separated by an impenetrable glass wall, close enough to see but impossible to touch. The world feels much bigger, too big, or more. It just feels so small in it. This crown of hero upon my head is little more than mockery, just some joke I'm not a part of. Also, why do I have to wear spandex? I don't like it. It feels weird. Overwhelmed by everything, the facade I'm supposed to portray crumbles and I collapse.
You win!
I scream, falling to my knees.
Let the world crumble. I can't do this anymore. I can't care anymore.
Heroes and villains. What does the hero offer to humanity? Hope. A belief that eventually good will triumph over evil. I played my part as I should, menacing and openly inviting the ire of all mankind. Watching the hero collapse before me shocked and offended me. I got worried. If the hero self-destructs, then there is only evil. Worse so, that evil was done by my hand. What I do solely on the understanding that I will be defeated. We had a deal, an unwritten deal, an understanding, and he's breaking it. The reporters are already beginning to congregate with their cameras. As soon as they arrive, I think,
they can't see this.
I shoot a line of fire to obstruct their view into the scene. I swoop down and collect the collapsed, now weeping hero. I fly him through the back alleys, just far enough so people won't be able to see our escape back into my lair.
I clear my head from what happened before. The sorrow must have clouded my attention, so much that I didn't notice what happened back at the money bank. I find myself lying on a couch in some foreign location. What happened back there? Suddenly, Lighter Fire walks in carrying a coffee mug, placing it on the coffee table next to me, saying,
"Do you have any idea how long I was at the bank setting up mirrors for you to use against me? All that time wasted."
He laughs. He sounds startlingly informal now.
"What is this? Is this poison? Where am I? What am I doing here?"
I ask.
"Relax. It's just us here. We only have to be foes for them. Drink up."
"What is it?"
"It's chamomile tea. It helps me when I get worked up. Please, drink."
I nervously pick up the mug and investigate its smell. Its fumes smell relaxing. I take a sip. Look at him anxiously. He catches the hackneyed statement.
"Sorry, not my bad. I guess being a superhero was just out of my head. I just meant I didn't choose to be this thing. In fact, I wanted to be a veterinary.
Veterinary?
I've always loved and wanted to help animals. What did you want to be?"
I take another sip and tell him.
He tells me about how he wanted to be an accountant.
I think it's because my dad was.
It sounds silly at first, but it eventually makes sense. I feel a pit in my stomach because I know my dad wouldn't be proud of me if he knows what I do.
He tells me about the cover he tells his family.
"Tell them I invented a special pillow."
And the sacrifice of torching his identity on the outside world, save for his family. The covers we make to keep up this charade. I ask him why we do this. He tells me how the stories of heroes triumphing over evil are essential to life. It makes sense. Just, why does it need to be us?
He asks me why it has to be us. I tell him it has to be someone. Maybe I'm just naive, but I think every person wants to be good. The people that become bad, for the most part, have lost themselves in this world. It's these stories of heroes and good triumphing over evil. That's what keeps people true to their conscience. It keeps them grounded to the faith that people need to be brave, righteous, and good. I try to comfort him. I hadn't realized that even my burdens were a weight on his shoulders. That I rely on him to make what I do right. Just.
But who is his hero? I suppose the glamour only shines from the outside. On the inside, it naturally must look like a sham. Only seeing your weaknesses and not seeing your offering or benefit. How lonely that must be.
He tells me that he's a big fan and how I give him hope. This person I fought for so long has turned out to be my friend, my nemesis, the only person that truly understands this life. Private, we're just an aspiring veterinarian, an aspiring accountant. Destiny's denied by the wall of our roles. We understand each other's isolation and sacrifice. Him, a world that hates him, and me, a world that deems me insignificant, while each of us give our lives as an offering according to our conscience to mankind.
I go into my stash and pull out some pills. I hand him a couple while taking a couple myself. He asks me,
"What are these?"
"Pain pills. Really good pain pills. It's about time to return to our roles. After being missing for so long, we'll have to put on a good show. These will help you not feel..."
I follow his lead and swallow the pills. And we wait for 20 minutes for them to kick in. After that time, he starts strategizing.
"Let's see. There would have been a struggle. While you're obviously going to beat me, I will have gotten a few good shots in."
I then warn him that I'm going to punch him. He nods, ready.
He then punches me. I giggle.
"I didn't feel a thing."
He hits me a couple more times to sell the illusion. He then tells me to hit him. I tell him I can't do that to him. Not now.
He gives me a bitter frown and tears up at the thought of punching me. I underestimated how much this event meant to him. I remind him that I punched him and he didn't feel anything. I assure him that it's necessary and that I won't feel a thing.
He gives me an assuring smile and nod as I reluctantly pull my fist back. I punch him and he orders me to hit him.
"Again. Again. Again."
After a few punches, I tell him that should be enough. He looks relieved. I tell him that he needs to remember, as his friend, that I believe in him. I need him to remember this and believe it to be true, because we won't be able to meet like this going forward. He looks sad, like he hadn't realized that we can't go out for drinks on the weekend like the normal people do.
He sincerely tells me that what I do redeems him of what he's forced to do, that I'm the one keeping him from collapsing. I see a glisten in his eyes as he looks away, imagining it. I feel the tears welling up in my eyes as well. I don't know what's happening. This earnest appreciation from my supposed foe has left me dumbfounded. A memory floods my mind of going out in spring as a kid after a seemingly endless winter.
Thank you. Once he's composed himself, we fly off to a used car lot that's closed for the day. We smash up a few cars to make it look like our battle moved over there. And when it looks like a wrecked aftermath, I smash my face in a rearview mirror and pass out.
The press eventually comes, followed by their acclaim. They drag him off to justice. He groggily gives me a sly wink as they carry him away.
As the cops drag me off, I shoot him one last gesture of friendship. I don't know if it'll be enough to carry him through his life, but I hope it does. Hope.
I'm finally able to accept the cheering of those around. Everyone celebrates except the owner of the used auto lot, whose entire stock has now been damaged. Seeing him crying over his damaged cars comforts me. It delights me more than anything else. I feel free from my sorrow, my agony feeling like it has been transferred over to him. I can't remember the last time I felt this complete. My burdens have become his while I feel so light. I could be ever more weightless to evoke this sorrow on everyone else in town. My mind races at the splinter. There has to be a way I can chase this feeling. There must be. And the clapping seal will praise me while I destroy their lives while saving the day. They will sing sweet praises to me as I exact my revenge upon them. It will be majestic. The dealer owner is now openly weeping about how his life is now ruined.
Fear not.
It won't be just you for long. Special thanks to Steph Lunders for voicing Ladder Fire, and the Shallowby Effect for contributing a song, Blue Sunshine. Also Torngat for contributing the song, A Superhero Anthem. All other music was composed by Meridorn. Story by Ryan Pearson,